Brian.
And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks. Back at it again.
What's up, Brian?
Well, Reggie, I feel like I'm, 95% of the way back from the accident.
Nice.
I went in the gym last night and set an all-time PR for bench press, which was my goal, which was 400 pounds.
Your intestines were not on the floor?
No, I didn't blow an O-ring or anything, man. Like it was. Now, I will tell you, the negative is the easy part on the bench because you do the negative last or first, right? So it's easy to get the bar to your chest. It's a world of commitment to get it that first 8 inches. If you can clear that first 8 inches, you can clear the rest of it. But it's that first 8 inches where your elbows are behind your back and you have to create enough force through just planting your feet on the floor, arching your back, and pushing through. It was one wicked ugly rep.
I'm sure it was.
But I got it up.
You know, I didn't, I never maxed it. I never did max bench press for a long time. Like at the height of my lifting and stuff, because I always used dumbbells for my chest because I felt like it did a much better job of.
Better stretch.
Better they stretch. Definitely get you a better stretch. I felt more of a pump. I felt everything was better. So I would work out. I worked all the way up to where I had 120-pound dumbbells, and that's what I was doing my chest presses and stuff with. Yep. So I've always been curious. Like, I wonder what my max bench would have been at that point. You can't speculate either.
Bench is not easy on your shoulders either. No. Like for me.
I did the Arnold thing, though. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah. He always said, you don't just press it up. You press it up and then you twist it.
Yeah.
And so it flexes that other, It was awesome. I loved it. Anyway, but getting back to your point. It does.
It was torque you up. After that rep was over, I had to sit there until everything stopped vibrating for a second because it was a lot of weight. And a guy that I was there with, he wasn't there with him. He was working out next to me. He goes, aren't you afraid you're going to drop that? And I realized at that point, I've never actually been afraid of dropping a weight. It's never entered my mind. But I think a lot of that comes from when I was young and I was training. I had good training partners that were very strict on teaching me form. Like I don't do suicide grips on bench press because you're just asking to drop a huge bench press on your chest. I don't do high form benches where you got the bar way up here above the head, placed properly. So I think I've never been afraid of dropping a weight on myself. Never have.
I think I just say that hopefully when anybody's lifting heavy, somebody is there because that is absolutely, I've been there where you try to lift something, especially squats.
And you get stuck.
When you're doing a squat and you're really trying to push it and it won't go any farther.
Well, that's why, you're screwed. That's why. And this is what drives me crazy is I'll see these young guys, they'll step into a squat rack and they'll take the safeties off the squat rack. And they're like, I can't get deep enough in my squat. You're cracked.
Dude, as long as you get 90.
If I drop and my legs give, the safety is going to catch the bar. It's not going to fall on me. Right?
Yeah.
You just let it drop and go to your hands and knees and let the bar hit the safeties. These guys go up and take the safeties off, man. Well, you're going to get crushed if you fall.
There was a lot of, if I was going real, real heavy, I put the bench down.
Yeah.
And I'd sit on I go all the way to where I'd touch the bench and then go up. Now that wasn't quite full enough to be honest. I'm being quite frank there, but I would reckon to not do the break 90 rule and still keep myself upright than I would be on the floor with, 600 and something pounds of
on top of you.
Yeah. No, thanks, man.
I'll be honest. When I squat, I do squat a little deeper than 90. I don't go like I don't go like butt to ankles. Like it's, I know a lot of guys that do that, man,
but that's wrong.
But well, it's, you got to realize there's a gym full of overcompensators, man. Guys that want to exaggerate movements to make them look more impressive. I'm not, that's another thing too, is I don't really care what anybody else in the gym thinks.
Well, you shouldn't. Absolutely shouldn't. Like, you're going to really mess yourself up.
Well, when I was training people, what I would tell people is they'd be like, well, what if people are looking at me? Who cares? They're probably looking at you because they're impressed with what you're doing. They're not looking at you, judging you. They're looking at you like, I wish I could do that. You know, so I always told people, especially that were new to the gym, don't pay any attention to those people. Those people don't matter. They're not going to give you anything or fix anything for you. They care less what goes on with you. They're here for themselves. Yeah. So, but I'm also not a guy, like, I think you and I would be good training partners because you and I are going to the gym with a purpose. But a lot of guys that I've trained with, dude, shut up. Like I we can go get a beer and sit down and talk after the workout. I'm not interested in an hour worth of conversation during my workout.
Well, I think it's your, I mean, like, look, you're there for a, like, it really boils down to efficiency of your time, right? How effective is that time in the gym? Because really that's what matters. It doesn't matter if you spend 20 minutes or you spend 3 hours. If your 20 minutes is like hyper effective, you've just done better than most of the other guys who are in there for like hours.
Well, right? And on top of that too, I mean, you want to go back in history, look at guys like Dorian Yates and Ronnie Coleman. They'll both tell you, I was in the gym for an hour. We're talking about, between the two of them, 13 Mr. Olympia titles. And Ronnie Coleman said, he goes, if I was in the gym more than an hour, I was wasting time.
Yeah,
everything was super heavy, super high intensity, and I'm out, right?
You're expending all of your energy during that 1 hour.
Yeah. That's,
everything goes into that 1 hour.
And this thing of, you know, people all the time say, well, Brian, how much should I lift? As much as your nervous system will allow without injury. So if your load is heavier than someone else's, but you're still able to walk away from your workout healthy, that's fine. You know, like for me, I am a max load guy when I go to work out. I want it as heavy and as hard as I can do it for an hour. And because a lot of times, dude, I'm getting the day stress out. I'm thinking through all of my garbage that I got to sift through for the week. Like sometimes those workouts for me are mentally good because they're that tough, right? But I'll see a lot of guys, they'll go in the gym and they'll grab some 20s and they'll do 60 reps and it's not challenging. And they're like, oh, and they're chatting with their, no, dude, you're not getting anything out of this workout. Go home.
Well, you know, you actually bring up a good point here lately. I shouldn't say lately, but for a while, when I do my workout stuff here lately, it's been like, starts out with the 5 pound mace and it builds up to the 15 or whatever. By the time I'm into that 10 pound and I'm really giving her hell, I'm only thinking about how many reps I've done, how many reps I got to go. And I'm talking to myself to get myself to get to the number of reps. If I'm not doing that, I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not pushing yourself
off. Yeah, exactly. So there's no other thoughts. There can't be, because I'm sitting there so intent with my will to push past whatever it is.
Well, you want it.
You know what I mean?
This is the nutty part of it right here. If there is no intensity, even in lifting weights, your heart rate should go up.
It absolutely should.
If there's no intensity, it'll take you 100 years to get any results. But just to give you an example, when I started this whole bench press journey, I was doing about 255 was my max. And I was talking to a guy that was at this gym I was at, and he looked at me and he asked me a question. He says, well, why don't you try to bench press more? And I went to answer it, and I was like, I don't have a good answer for that question. So about a week later, man, I just started doing – I was pyramiding up, you know, trying to finish at one or two reps to failure.
Yeah.
Well, it took me, 12 weeks to get to 400 pounds? 12 weeks total for me to increase my bench press by 145 pounds because I am Captain Hype, but I'm also Captain Protein. When I leave the gym, I eat protein. Before I'm at the gym, I eat protein. I do recovery, red light bed therapy, sauna, hydro massage, regular massage. I have to come back, right? Like, it's the guys that go in and they kill themselves and then they never do anything to recover that never get any results. I'm always looking for a better way to recover, right? Something that's going to get me down the road a little faster. So,
which recovery is a big part of the topic of today.
I know.
Speaking of that, though, that's like, today was a very much this week I had to focus on my recovery a lot. Cause I put my knee. So in other words, last week we talked about my knee was all messed up, but still hasn't gone away, but I got those compression knee things on. So I did work out. So Wednesday came around, which is usually my recovery day for Monday and Tuesday. And I was like, okay, Wednesday is my yard work day. So then I start doing all that stuff and everything else. And I had to do some work on my mower. I had to fix some things. And it was up on the thing, up on a mower jack, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the jack wouldn't go down. So I physically lifted up my lawnmower and put it down, which was really heavy, right?
But yeah, you have a zero turn.
Yeah.
Sink away a ton.
Yeah. It was like awesome.
A small car.
I felt invigorated, right?
Yeah.
But then I just did that, and then I go out and I mow my yard. But so I just lifted a really, really heavy, something really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, cool, I'll just sit on my lawnmower, have a cigar, you know, go cut my grass. But my yard is extremely bumpy. Like, there's no part of my yard that you don't feel like you're, I don't know, getting beat.
It's like mine. It's like four-wheel drive.
There's all kinds of roots. It's everything, right?
It's stupid, man. It's so stupid.
So I'm sitting there mowing the grass, and I'm sitting there. I'm just focused on trying to get as much done as I can because I'm way behind on my yard work as it is.
Yep.
So I get done, though. I hardly could walk to my – I couldn't. My back was just like – I'm serious when I tell you, I would rather be – I'd rather go – 3 or 4 rounds in a cage match then do like that again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how stupid it beat the living crap out of me. And I wonder, I'm thinking because I just stressed it to lift, you know, and now look, I lift like I'm supposed to. Like I don't just.
Well, also you got to realize too, you know, something people don't understand is when you do something strenuous, it's a shock to your nervous system.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in, take as much rest between sets as you need, right? But you probably lifted it, got on the mower and started mowing. So if it were me, I would have given myself 30 minutes, man, and just kind of let my body calm down. And
I didn't do that.
But you didn't. You rolled right into it because you're a beast.
I was on a time.
You're a grand.
Like, I'm like, I got to get this stuff done, you know, today. Uh-huh. And it, you know, and it wasn't like it stressed me too much. Like I didn't feel like that was too much of a lift or that I was, you know, whatever. It really didn't. And it wasn't like a real lift either because I'm just setting it down. So like, I'm just taking the weight, you know, anyway, the whole long story long though, it's definitely a lot different story about things when you're in your 40s than when you're in your 20s.
Absolutely.
What a difference.
Aging
sucks. What a difference your body is. And it's not that you're like not strong.
No.
Like in your 40s and stuff, like for now, for me and us, we're still strong. That's not the case.
Dude, I'm 12 days away from my 50s, buddy.
I know. And it's not that you're not strong, but it is the fact that your body is not going to recover near like it would before. I think that's the biggest difference.
Good luck with that,
right? Yeah. That's the biggest difference I can tell from at this point from doing stuff. Or your joints and stuff, man, aren't as fluid. They're more susceptible to injuries and stuff too.
Well, strains and stretches and what I tell people all the time is warm up, man. You got to warm up a little bit at least, you know, stretch, bend side to side, you know, get your body ready for strenuous movement. You know, I see when I was young, dude, I could roll into the gym and just start lifting and it was okay. If I roll into the gym and just start lifting now, I'm done for 2 days, man, because I didn't warm up. But like yesterday, I had no idea what I was going to try to do yesterday. I just knew I had to go to the gym and get my workout in. So I did 20 minutes in the hydro massage bed before my workout. And then I did just some stretches and bends and stuff like that. If I wouldn't have done that and I would have tried to bench press 400 pounds, first and foremost, I probably would have failed. Probably wouldn't have got the rep out. And secondly, I probably wouldn't be able to lift my arms today. So it's very important. But, you know, we are talking about aging, and that's – golly, man, the more older I get, the more it sucks.
Well, you know, the thing is, and here we are, one of the topics that, like, you know, we have major pharmaceutical companies and all that kind of stuff that have been working on anti-aging stuff. People have been tackling this since we've been, you know, around.
Yeah.
They still don't know and they're not even close to figuring out how to reverse aging. You see these articles all the time in things or something. They'll say like, oh, we making this progress, or whatever. But they're still not close to doing everything like that. So it's just one of those things where and there's a lot of people, especially Hollywood, that are doing everything they can to be forever young, right? Well,
yeah. And let's be clear, there are certain supplements I take. I do take a testosterone supplement. It's a supplement. It's not a TRT. It's not a replacement. I do take some Shilajit, which is a Himalayan herb that's supposed to help support lean muscle mass. So I take a couple of things that, I feel like help me. But I mean, Hollywood, man, you got guys that are on TRT, you got guys that are on human growth hormone. And the horrible thing about human growth hormone is when you stop taking it, you age faster. Like, it actually accelerates the aging process when you're done with it. So if you start taking it and you take it for any regular period of time, you better stay on it.
Mm.
And that's expensive, man. Those kind of treatments are tens of thousands of dollars per treatment.
I mean, I don't recall. I was trying to, here's the funny thing about whenever you try to do research on aging, you end up with, good God, it was really difficult to pull together, but anyway, I found some other things and stuff, but here's the scoop though. These guys that, guys and gals, cause I mean, look, this is not just a guy thing. This is, there's a lot of women who are trying to stay young and beautiful and other stuff because it's the way that fame is, and people are shallow, man. They don't, I mean, that's, let's face it. That's how it is. So, I mean, but I will say this, your genetics play such a ginormous role into your aging. There's really nothing else comparable. And I'll point to an example, Selma Hayek. That chick looks just as almost damn good today as she did when she was in her 20s.
Yeah, she does.
She is crazy. And she doesn't – so reportedly – and I tried to find definitive, but reportedly she doesn't do any kind of, whatever. Now, that could be totally false and she's hiding it or whatever.
Well, I honestly, man, but one of the things that frustrates me – and look, man, I'm not above doing things to make yourself feel better and have a better – self-view and things like that. I get it. But, when you see these women and dudes especially, man, guys, oh my gosh, who, look, man, there's two things I'm never going to do. Number one, I'm never going to color my hair. Ladies and gentlemen, my hair is mostly gray. I earned every one of them. And number two, I'm never going to be the guy that dresses like I'm 20.
Well, I didn't even associate dress with age. Really,
and I was at the gym the other day, and there was a great example. There was a guy there at the gym. If he was a day old, he was 70 years old. You could tell he had spent way too much time in a tanning bed because he had that wrinkly tan. He had a toupee on that sat way too high up off of his head, right? He was wearing an A-tank. His arms were that big around, like nothing impressive. And he was wearing Speedo biker shorts and attempting to lift weights that were entirely too heavy for him to lift. Like, you can just tell that his form was terrible. He wasn't getting anything accomplished. And I looked at him and I felt bad because, like, dude, you didn't work out all your life. You figured out you were aging and all of a sudden you felt like you could do things to reverse it. Well, no, dude, there's a point where you can't come back. Right. But I mean, there's a specific desire that you have to have to be healthy. And I think that starts a little earlier in life. You've had experiences early in life with health and working out and keeping yourself in shape. I've pretty much worked out most of my life. You have to want to be strong and healthy. The anti-aging stuff will take care of itself if you take care of your body, right? The only thing that they've discovered in all this that they really know for sure is that resistance training, what you and I do, resistance training is basically as close to the fountain of youth as we have right now.
Well, okay, but let's talk about this for a second until we get into deep about all kinds of things. But how do we age though? Did you like that's a key thing to understand. Well, like how do we like what? Because you know we're reproducing ourselves.
Yeah,
all the time.
You know, our mitochondria starts to break down.
Well, epigenetic changes, right? As we age, and this is, by the way, I'm not going to source anything specific because I took a bunch of notes and tried to put this together. But the mechanisms that regulate gene activity, such as like methylation, they degrade. So that's one that leads to changes in how things are expressed and worked and stuff like that. Those methylation patterns are kind of called what I found out it was called the epigenetic clock.
Yes.
They can predict whatever. So those changes or whatever consequences of agents or whatever. Now this is part of it where they're still trying to figure out that the consequences of that and how much that plays into stuff. They're still working on that. So there's not really any point in going into specifics about that one. You can damage your DNA, the proteins and the cellular structures over time.
You can.
And that's you will. I shouldn't say you can, you will. So as you age, your body is less effective at repairing those damaged DNA and proteins and whatever. So that leads to an aging of sorts and that goes to recovery. This is part of why we, as you get older, recovery is a lot more important than when you're younger. ROS, reactive oxygen species. It's a byproduct of your metabolism, and it can damage cellular components.
Yes.
So that's another thing that does that. Telomere shortening. The telomeres, they're protective ends of chromosomes, shorten with each cell division. So therefore, they can become too short and they no longer divide. So therefore you're contributing to your tissues and stuff aging and dysfunction. Autophagy also, you have a decline in where that,
autophagy fasting.
Yeah. Autophagy in general, which is how the cells recycle, damaged components. That also declines as you age too, how effective that is. And then you just have like chronic inflammations and stuff and from injuries and everything else, all that stuff accumulates. And they called it, let's see, a phenomenon sometimes called inflammaging. I think I'm saying that right.
Inflammaging.
There you go. That also contributes to many things like that. So there's not, scientifically speaking, there's not like a single cause or anything like this. It's a
multitude of internal factors and external factors that cause you to age, right?
Yeah.
So, but here's some interesting stuff that you brought up. I'll go over a couple of things. One of the things that I've been kind of doing off and on is autophagy fasting, 72 hours, water only. It's amazing what that will do to destroy it. Because what happens is at that 72 hour mark, your body will start to use bad cells as fuel to get rid of them. Right. So fasting has its rewards, and autophagy fasting, especially because if you do those 72 hour, 120 hour bursts of fasting where it's water, black coffee, nothing else, your body will actually go, we better use these crappy cells up first. And then they burn those up. So you actually wind up being a little bit healthier at the end of it. But one that's very interesting, and this is for you, there have been studies that have proven that high intensity interval training can reinvigorate the mitochondria in your cells and cause your energy levels to go up and help not necessarily reverse aging, but slow it down. So again, high intensity, because you're out there with the mace, right? And you're swinging, you're doing your 30 or 40 seconds on and you're 15, 20 seconds off. That's actually boosting energy reproduction within the mitochondria and helping stop aging, right? Not stop it.
I know what you mean.
Retard it, we'll say. But, you know, What I want to talk about too, though, is the external factors, man. I mean, the world is blowing up right now with the lies that have been covered up for the last 50 years, right? 50 to 70 years. Number one, that our food is safe. What a lie. Our bodies are damaged by processed foods that are specifically engineered to destroy the signal from the stomach to the brain that senses satiety in your body and tells you that you're full, which causes this dynamic of overeating that you see, right?
Dude, let me, on this subject real quick, okay. Because this is, could talk about food. I got this Libre 3 sensor, right? Hooks up to the back of my arm. And I got an app. It reports this stuff, right? So I can tell. Here's what's funny. You think potatoes are all bad, right?
They're not.
Potatoes are so bad, right?
Nope.
If I go eat fries, for instance, at like a fast food place or something, it's terrible. You see the glucose response. It's stupid. Yep. If my wife, though, fixes mashed potatoes with real potatoes and real puts all that stuff in there, there is hardly anything, right?
Yep.
Rice. If we fix rice, we fix she likes the basmati, or we get the rice from the Indian grocer up in Clarksville or whatever, yeah. And all this stuff. There is no glucose response from that.
Yeah.
You get rice at like
Panda Express.
Whatever. It's freaking skyrocket.
Here's something else I'll
give you. It's crazy.
About rice. If you cook rice and you're going to use rice in a recipe, you know it's best to let it get cold overnight before you use it in the recipe. Yeah.
Yep.
Because it changes the molecular density of the rice and makes it a different kind of starch, which actually doesn't cause the insulin reaction, right?
It's just insane to me, dude, how like even sugar, like if you eat like my wife made fudge. Dark chocolate walnut fudge, black walnut fudge, right? That actually doesn't do that much either.
Nope. And you drink a can of Coke and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. So, let me say this to everybody. I think if you really want to know how your methylation and all that stuff, and like you just want to see how because your glucose response is pretty informative.
Yeah. It's pretty fast, too. It responds fairly quickly.
So you can get these sensors. You don't have to have a prescription. There's some that you don't have to have that'll work with your phone and stuff. Just get one for a little bit. And I don't think they're hugely expensive. Maybe like if you don't have a prescription,
buy them on the counter. You can get a GL1 sensor that like you're wearing, about $40, $50 on Amazon. Well, it's not super expensive.
If you just
want to
see, cause it'll blow your mind. We buy these chips from Thrive Market that are like, they look like the Pringles can, but they're like the made with all natural stuff, not Pringles. Like they're actually the real alternative. They don't do anything hardly. This is what I'm saying. This is why it's so important nowadays to figure this out for yourself.
Recognize the problem and do something about it. That's what's important.
But right? That'll help you to your point though. The more poisons you obviously intake, the more your body has to work to digest things, to do this stuff, and the more it's going to age you.
Well, and look, on top of that too, we're never going to get away from all processed foods. And it's okay from time to time to get a Big Mac.
Sure.
You know, to get a Jimmy John's sandwich or something like that. I had Jimmy John's for dinner last night. You know, I got it in a wrap. It was delicious. I loved it. The Jimmy peppers are my favorite peppers, right? So, but I do that so rarely that it's mine. My stepmother passed away and we had to go and take care of business. And while we were there, we weren't able to eat. We were trying to eat on the run. Yeah, so
you're going to.
I ate two meals in a row of what I would consider
garbage,
fast food garbage. I felt terrible for 3 days.
If you don't eat it, man, you know, it's funny how if you stay away from that stuff.
Yeah. Flavor food changes.
Yes.
I mean, and the thing is, too, is there's other little tips you can do. Like, you know, it's actually bad to drink while you eat. You're supposed to drink after you eat. It actually slows your metabolism down to drink.
I can't do that, though. I have a problem with, like, I get stuff stuck in my throat a lot if I don't do that, by the way.
I've never had that problem, but if I'm eating something, sometimes I want to cleanse my palate. and that's why I drink. But they say that drinking during eating actually slows down your metabolism.
Yes, interesting.
So they say that, you know, drinking super cold water as opposed to like lukewarm temperature or room temperature water is actually slows your digest or slows your metabolism down. So there's lots of little things, right? And you know, we were built to be hunters and gatherers, right? We weren't built to be fans of Ronald McDonald. We just weren't. And we've somewhere along the way lost the ability to do that, right? We've lost the ability to let our natural instincts take over and eat what's naturally good to us. And it's through many, many years of getting people addicted. And when I say addicted, I mean it. Yeah. I mean that there are people that eat McDonald's or Dairy Queen or whatever it is three times a day, and they do it because they're addicted to it. They're addicted to the MSG, the sodium, the chemicals.
I will say, though, that your body is really – it's like it's a machine, man.
Yeah.
And it's an unreal machine.
Yeah.
Like you can eat McDonald's and still – survive and technically be okay. And you know what I mean? Like I think that's something to be said.
Well, right? Look, man,
you know,
I'll say it the best way I know how. Nobody in the world like a piece of fried fish more than I do. I don't eat it, but I love it.
I will eat it every day if I can,
but
just saying,
one of my biggest problems that I tell people about is, have you ever eaten a tan meal and felt good afterwards? Go to a fish place and get fried fish, French fries, and hush puppies. You never feel good after eating that. You feel good while you're eating it because it's delicious. Let's be honest. Let's be honest, man. Let's just put our cards on the table. Fast food is fantastic. And the reason is they chemically alter it for flavor. So when you bite into, you know, some Domino's pizza, it's good pizza. When you diet it, this is the reason they say bad pizza is still good pizza, right? So you're chemically, your taste buds become chemically altered, though. So that way, when you go back to eating healthy food, the healthy food doesn't taste as good. So you're like, meh.
But,
you know,
I will say, though, that if you're off of it for a while,
it
doesn't taste good anymore.
It doesn't. No, I didn't eat fast food for almost a year. And then a guy at work picked me up a double cheeseburger and I took two bites and threw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
I was like, this is awful.
So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about, because one of the things that you see, and I think you're seeing more of nowadays, is biohackers, right? Or at least influencers that call themselves biohackers.
Such garbage.
Brian, what's your opinion on said influencer biohacker people?
First of all, I don't believe anything an influencer tells me. you couldn't hack a Ziploc bag, so you're not going to tell me you're biohacking. And I think a lot of them are that's a buzz phrase for, yes, a lot of them. Is. Hey, we're going to teach you a way to biohack your way to being fit. No, you're not. There's two ways to get fit. Eat less, work out more. That's it. Shut up about everything else. And as far as the gene therapy and the regenerative gene tools, there are some of those out there that do have an effect, like red light therapy has a real effect. But you have to do it regularly. Like red light therapy is a 3-4 time a week thing, right? To have an impactful effect. Sauna and cold plunge are proven to release cold shock protein and heat shock protein into your body, which can and will help regenerate cells. There's some things at work, but it's not hacking your biology. It's simply using the tools that have existed all of our lives. I mean, let me give you an example. When the cavemen were roaming the earth and there was a lake in the way, whether it was 10 degrees or 10,000 degrees, they swam across that lake to get to the thing that they needed. They crossed the water. They hadn't invented boats yet. They had to swim instinctively. Let's get across this body of water to the food that's on the other side. Again, we've lost that core, you know, survival instinct, you know, and now people are starting to figure that out, right? Which shocks me to death, because I've been saunaing most of my life because it's a regenerative thing to do. But we're just now all shocked and amazed. Well, if you cold plunge or you sit in the hot tub or you go do something that causes your heart rate to come down It raises your core body temperature a tad. It causes you to push toxins out of your body. It causes your body to produce what are called survival proteins to help you heal. Oh no. Well, when did that happen? That's been happening all our friggin' lives, man. Like, yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, the level of comfort we have in general, especially when you're talking about America, right? The good old United States of America. We are so pampered and comforted, dude. Like, it, you got to understand, I think, look, I don't have any research to back this up necessarily. I know there is some, but like, the more you put your body into situations that aren't comfortable, the more your body learns to cope with those comfort things. And like, it just increases everything about your whole survival mechanisms and your whatever. That's why I cold plunge, the sauna, did all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you know, the goal of, and I know this, look, here's the thing before I get to this. I don't necessarily like working out, getting done, and then I'm in pain pretty much all the time because that's what I'm doing. I have some sort of pain and discomfort all week. And it doesn't actually go away at all. It slims down on the weekend because I take Saturday and Sunday off to recover. And actually, I don't really even take it off because, like, today I'm going to plant a tree that I need to dig a 3-foot around hole and all this kind of stuff. So I'm still going to be doing physical stuff this weekend, but I'm not doing the workouts. I'm not even out. I'm still hurt right now. And then I go to Monday, hurt. And then I go work out and it hurt. It's just, it's constant. It's just a constant thing. So what it's really a way you have to use your will. You have to use your brain to tell your body what to do.
Well, I think
it's willpower.
I think,
but it's for a good reason.
It is. It is. You have to be willing to embrace the pain. Like, you know, I talked to some folks. I had a kind of a group thing one time when I was training. And
I'm still sweating, by the way.
All of them. Yeah, I know. He sauna'd. No, sauna. He did his hot tub.
I did my hot tub before we got on. Yeah.
Now he's sweating. There's a definite degree of development that comes from pain. You develop a tolerance for just everyday life, right? Like, I'll be truthful with you, man. I'm never not sore somewhere.
Exactly.
Right. It is what it is, right? Like, we were never meant or built to live a complete life of comfort. That is something that has developed over time. That is this just lie. I think it's part of the wealth lie. You know, if you get wealthy, you don't have to work hard. You don't have to do anything. Some of the hardest working people, some of the hardest and most intense people I know are wealthy people.
But not just that, though. Even if you are that wealthy, if you do like those sheiks and stuff in the Middle East who lounge around all day and whatever, you're not going to live very long. I mean, that's not how you're designed to be. Now, there's a biblical thing to that, really.
Yeah.
Because in Genesis, it tells us, hey, guess what? You will toil for the rest of your life. And that's what we're meant to do. At that point forward, we are meant to work and be uncomfortable. and that's kind of what we're supposed to do.
Well, and that's another thing too. Ta-da. Is, you know, biblically, if you look back at the biblical time, if you look back at the height of the biblical age, those guys worked hard every day.
Right,
even every the day. Leaders of the villages and towns were laboring, you know, but you know,
well, let's get, before we get into the biblical stuff, the biohacking thing. I want to get back to this, right?
Okay.
I think I want to make the point here, and that you've already said that garbage and all that kind of stuff. Some of them give you advice on, like, because they talk about the autophagy fasting.
Autophagy.
Autophagy.
It sounds more impressive when you say it that way.
Autophagy.
Though. Autophagy.
Daggone.
I'm sorry. It's just funny.
Yeah, I mean, but most of them, like, they'll say, like, hey, diet, exercise, all that stuff. And I think you got to look at people, though. Like RFK Jr., for one. Dude's got some age on him.
Yeah.
But he's taken his health pretty seriously over the years, as it's pretty evident. I mean, how many people his age can walk around with their shirt off and be like, hey.
How many guys his age?
That's crazy.
Here, I'll give you one better. Let's go basic. How many guys his age can do one pull-up?
Oh, yeah, I know.
He does three sets of 15.
It's crazy, dude. You know?
But here's the thing, too.
Genetics play a big part.
But also consistency plays a big part, right? Yeah. I see so many people chase health, and they'll get healthy, and then they're like, oh, I'm healthy, I can stop now. No, it's about consistency. The lie of motivation has been something that the fitness industry and quote-unquote biohackers and influencers, they love to say that word. You just got to get motivated. I'm going to say it. You're full of shit. There is no human being on planet Earth is motivated every day. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger said in an interview, I wasn't motivated a lot of times, but I knew what I wanted, and I knew that if I wanted to have it, I had to show up, right?
Yeah.
You got to show up, you know, and, you know, and you got to show up the same way. You know, this one's become far more important to me in the last 2 or 3 years. You got to show up mentally. You know, we age mentally in a way that's can be very beneficial and can keep you cognitively clear for a very long time. Or you can be one of these people that doesn't challenge yourself. And you, as you age cognitively, you recede and you're not capable of retaining information and growing mentally. And like the physical part to me was the easiest part. The hardest part for me was the fight against mental aging. Because there's a point, I've met a lot of older folks where the conversation is, I've learned everything I need to learn. No, you haven't. There are new things developing every day. One of the smartest people I ever met was my wife's grandmother. She was a school teacher. She raised a big family. And she was always reading and kind of watching and investigating. And up until the day she passed, she was mentally as sharp as a tack. And I just admired it. I was like, man, to be that pointed and aggressive about keeping your mental edge, right? And which is part of, you know, one of the reasons why I love this podcast, and I love, you know, Reggie being one of my, you know, closest friends, is Reggie will challenge me mentally. He will send me stuff, and I've got to really get it. Like, nothing Reggie ever sends me is a read and you're done. It's a read. Well, crap, now I got to research, and then I research, and then, oh, crap, I got to read, and oh, crap, oh, here's some videos. Oh, crap, oh, wait a minute, here's an article, here's a study, and I'm 7-8 hours in, but I'm loving it because I'm learning all kinds of stuff, right? And then I send Reggie memes of people singing who can't sing, which, by the way, you got to admit that was funny.
Methanescence. There you go.
Dude, my favorite. It's not the girl. It's the dude when he breaks into the chorus. And I'm like, oh, that was the part where I laughed until I almost passed out. But I still have that side of me. There's nothing more funny than watching a guy get hit in the nuts
because anyway, he's doing
something stupid.
So look, I mentioned the biohacking thing because you have a ton of these influencers. You gotta just be careful about this crap because the supplement industry is billions of dollars. There's a lot of it that's a racket that's not really scientifically proven. They're just saying, hey, look, I took this and I felt better.
Now this is something I know something about, and I'm going to break down the supplement industry for you.
I'm telling you.
Are you ready?
I'm telling you.
Go ahead. Okay. So let's take protein shakes, for instance, protein powder. The number one selling supplement in the supplement industry is protein powder.
Yep. Yep.
Back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was no protein powder to speak of. You might have had a couple of different things. But what happened was with the rise of the fame of guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Frank Zane and the Olympia and bodybuilding catching traction, the initial production of protein was based on a study. It was protein is the complex aminos that builds the muscles back up, right? So a company called GNC was really on the forefront of producing and selling protein powders. Well, when they started advertising, you remember when you used to go into GNC and there was 50 different protein powders? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Muscle and Fitness and Muscle Mag and all these bodybuilding magazines went from being 50 pages with one advertisement, which was usually for like the flexi bar thing that you bent, to now every other page was a different protein supplement. Well, then you got into, if you notice the development of different things like amino acids and different kinds of supplements that came along, they followed behind medical studies that these companies pulled buzzwords out of. And yeah, there's probably some aminos inside of your amino acid tablets. There probably is, but there ain't a whole lot of aminos in there. People forget that it's called supplement for a reason. Food is where that stuff comes from, right? I have never gotten stronger than when I just said, you know what? I'm just going to depend on food. And I started eating high levels of protein, all those things. And then, you know, we started to get into like testosterone, and we started to get into, which I think, conspiracy theory, ready? I think this whole drop in the level of testosterone that you've seen in men was purposeful in the sense that pharmaceutical and supplement companies wanted to sell those things. So there's been kind of a conspiratorial reverse of testosterone in men. And now everybody needs a testosterone supplement or TRT, or they got to go to the men's clinic and get their shot so they can, you know, function. And the supplement industry is very dangerous. And the reason I say that is the United States is the only country that doesn't regulate supplements that are sold on the shelf. So I could go to my house and buy a whole bunch of empty containers. I go buy a whole bunch of labels. I could stuff a bunch of Divides and all those things into a little bit of protein. I can slap on there that there's 20 grams of protein per serving, put it on the shelf and sell it. And it is not regulated by the FDA.
Yeah.
They don't care to regulate it. So one of the things I tell people about supplements is do your research and then go for the purest form of it. Like I take a very clean form of testosterone supplement. I take a very clean form of herbs and vitamins because I don't want all the garbage. Just give me the vitamin. I don't care if it's a small dose. It's only meant to supplement what I'm taking in food, right? So you're right. The supplement industry is utter garbage, right? Blah, like don't. Steroids, don't. All the things, don't.
But there is some things to be said about, I mean, I think that I think like anything else, the part of testosterone therapy that isn't spoken about that should be is that as men age, your testosterone level drops. Now, it's supposed to do that, but sometimes because of our food, because of our environments or whatever, it's actually an unhealthy decline in testosterone. You need something to pick that up. Yep. And that's been, you know, vilified. Through all kinds of stuff, right? Steroids necessarily, even anabolic steroids. Well, there is actually it's still deep vilified there, but I think from what I've read anyway, that you possibly could do some of that and be okay, but it's not near the doses that you would do in order to have the muscle mass that these guys have.
Here's the thing.
Let me make that very clear.
Here's the thing. Clean anabolic steroids, if you take them in cycle, which means 30 days on, 90 days off, there is very little research that shows that there is any long-term damage done by doing a cycle.
It's still a risk.
There's still a risk.
Yeah.
But those risks have more to do with your comorbidities and your genetic defects than they do with the actual chemical itself, because it does enhance. But look at the bodybuilders and the fitness guys from the 70s. You look at the Sergio Olivias and all those guys who they were on steroids, but they would do 30 days pre-contest, which means part of their cut down was we would go on to a cycle all the way up to contest. Then after contest, we cut it off and cycle back to food and exercise. And you don't see those guys dropping dead. But in our current age, we have fitness influencers dropping dead because they're on a 3 or 4 year constant cycle of steroids, your body's just not built to do that. You know, I take Rich Piana. You know, I really liked Rich Piana, 5% Nation. The guy was a entrepreneur of epic levels, and I have a ton of respect for the guy. But the guy was open about the fact that he took HGH, testosterone, steroids every day, like every day. And then people are all like, "Well, I can't believe he died." I can, dude. You defiled your body for so long that it turned on you. And it killed you, right? So just when I encourage people, I talk to young guys at the gym and they'll be like, "Oh, I'm thinking about doing a cycle of test." And I'll go, "What's a cycle?" "Well, you know, I'm thinking about doing it for a year." That's not a cycle. That's 12 straight cycles. That's, you want to do a cycle, do 30 days, clear your schedule, put your regimen together. You'll have some pretty good advances. But at the end of 30 days, you got to stop.
Yeah. Well, right. I'm just saying, like, there is a way, but I still say I wouldn't advise it right now. But you know, that, I'm just saying there are things that we've been drilled into, especially our generation, been drilled into as like, oh, not, but can be used, okay, and it's almost this, you know. I don't want to get into that too much because I think I don't want to encourage anybody.
No, I don't encourage anybody to. You know, I don't take steroids.
I think there's more research that needs to be done that is unbiased and without some kind of agenda behind it, yeah. to say that, to help.
Well, there's got to be, you have to have better sourcing too. Like, you can go across the border to Mexico and buy it all, but I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
I want whatever's in the Mexican pharmacy.
there's one part of biohacking though that was interesting, and that was like the DIY gene editing.
Yes.
Right. Yes. I thought that was interesting. Like, I've never heard of that myself because I don't follow any influencers or anything. I don't pay attention to any of that crap. No. So apparently, CRISPR-Cas9 is what it's called. CRISPR-Cas9. Okay. And it's a guided RNA. Designed to match a specific DNA sequence and the Cas9 enzyme, which acts as a molecular scissors to cut the DNA at the targeted location. In other words, what they're doing is they're, you know, using like this gene editing thing to encourage certain parts of your genetic makeup to kind of counter the effects of aging, right?
Yep.
But this is all like, this is all DIY stuff, right? There are people just, and there's not like, okay, I'm saying this. It's not like everybody that is doing this is like some, you know, works at the sawmill during the day and then, you know, goes home and does gene editing.
And I don't think that exists.
Right. So make a bigger mess?
I made a giant mess, but that's okay.
I would say this is one of those things that, man, that can be real dangerous.
It can be gene editing, and you've seen some of the results of it, you know, birth defects. There are some studies that show that people who participate in things like that are they're going to have long-term effects, right? So again, there's not enough research, right? I mean, a lot, you know, one of the things that I fault as to our system of science is that we don't do enough long-term research to figure things out, right? We'll see a result and there'll be one positive and 10 negatives. And then we're rushing to market because of that one positive. Well, man, if there's 10 negatives, then that positive is kind of erased. So yeah, I would agree with that. That's very much a,
I'm just saying that. So there's a couple different, like there's another one that's called zinc finger nucleuses.
Zinc finger nucleuses. That sounds like a band.
Nucleuses or something.
Okay.
Anyway, ZFNS and talons.
Aren't talons what like an eagle has?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, just making sure.
Epigenome editing. So all these things are, they have like these kits and stuff you can get.
Yes.
So look, I would just stay away. I'm just saying, like until you see like some real science that have denoted to that, real studies and stuff that give you some answers about what to do, how to do it. Is this most effective? This is what it does. Here's the side effects. DIY as far as gene editing just sounds awful bad to me. You know,
sound awful bad.
So I just wanted to point that out. So part of today, which I think is something, is that we really don't look at aging as a good thing, or even we hold that up as like, you know, we're always trying, like in general, the public is always trying to avoid aging. Right. And I think that's part of the problem. A big part of the problem here, the whole Fountain of Youth quest is just, it's, there's a reason why we age, and there's a good part to why we age, and this, yeah. And we need to age. We need to grow in that way to fulfill kind of our human self. We'll get into the Bible here in a minute, but there's several different philosophical mindsets about life stages. And it's, you think about one of the big ones is like the warrior stage, which is when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got my notes here. The warrior stage is typically associated with youth and early adulthood. It is time of striving, competition, proving oneself, and confronting challenges. That's when you're really gung-ho. You're trying to shape the world. You're trying to just overcome any obstacles that you have. And you're like establishing yourself. But you're focused on also physically on building your strength, your resilience, how your diligence, that kind of stuff. That's the warrior stage, right? That philosophically, that many different philosophers have kind of, and I'm throwing like a whole bunch of different philosopher mindsets into one thing, and then that leads into the sage stage.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's really where it's a maturity. It's the wisdom. It's where you're focused on you've focused on the inner development of yourself, understanding harmony and alignment with the deeper truths of existence. Right. That's where you get into the introspective part of your life thing. And also too, and this is why I think the sage stage is important in the biblical leadership, is because it's a lot of spiritual growth during that sage stage, because you're not focused on so much of the physical stuff. Yep. Your main focus is inner reflections and wisdom and all that kind of stuff. That's really important in the church. So I look at this as when I think about this in the terms of like the biblical perspective, right? God is faithful through your whole entire life. He has orchestrated and designed our lives to go in certain stages as it does.
Absolutely.
Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. He's there. He's meant to do that. And in Job 12:12, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? Right?
Proverbs 20:29.
Yes.
The glory of youths is in their strength, but the beauty of the age is in their gray hair, right? Like it's, I think that, you know, I think we forget that because our numerical age has increased, we still have a responsibility as the wiser and more experienced biblical generation to really acknowledge that God built us to age. He built us to become wise. I mean, you think about guys like Abraham and Moses, they lived to be very old and very, very, very wise. Right. You know, and I think that, you know, Psalms 92:14 says they will still bear fruit in old age and they will stay fresh and green. Right. You know, I hear this saying used a lot, that wisdom is wasted on the young. I don't think that's true at all. I think that we're built to disperse wisdom, spiritual, emotional, mental, physical wisdom to the younger generation to help guide them to be our replacement for the day that we're gone, so they can cast out and push out that same wisdom and knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Which is really part of that part of myself that I'm in right now is helping my sons realize that there are things that they need to avoid, things that they can do, you know,
well, things they need to, your boys, right, are at that age where they need to be listening to the older generation.
Yes.
They really do. That's the, if I can give any advice to any young person, is like, do not disparage or look upon life experience in a negative way.
Yeah.
Cherish whatever you can get and take it to heart. Because it's those people who have already gone through what you're trying to do. They've already done it. Listen to it. And I'm speaking to brick walls a lot of times. I mean, yeah. I know this because I was the same way. But like, you know, Leviticus 19:32, stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly and revere your God, right? Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. Psalm 92:14, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And this is why in the church I say is important to have a congregation that is, you have old, you have young, you have families, you have
singles, you need
that diversity of age, especially because the one helps the other. Everybody feeds off of the other one. It's supposed to be a communal existence.
Well, I think part of the problem too in the current church is you've seen them cast off biblical wisdom, right? Like biblical wisdom is, you know, what does it say? Psalm 71:9, do not cast me off in a time of old age or forsake me when my strength is spent. There is still value in you, right? There's still, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone through an experience in life and I ran into somebody who threw some wisdom on me and I just go, man, why didn't somebody tell me that before? Right? Why didn't somebody give me that ability to think about that before I crossed into this place where I was broken and struggling? And, you know, and then it says in Psalms 71:18, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. That's our job as the older generation. As you and I get into the 50s and the 60s, our job is to cast the wisdom that we've learned from Christ into that next generation. Because if you don't pour it into them, they don't have it, so they can't pour it into someone else. Wisdom is not spontaneous.
No, it takes a long time.
Wisdom takes experience. It takes surrounding yourself with wise counsel. All these things are contributing factors to being wise and being able to give forward wisdom, right? Some of the wisdom we get is from experience. Some of the wisdom we get is from Bible. Some of the wisdom we get is from you know, struggle, consequence. Like all these things put into us wisdom. But it's the guy who locks it all up and says, well, nobody was there to tell me. All the more reason you need to be there to tell others, right? So,
yeah. Well, it's just one of those things. We our days are numbered. Like we are only here on this earth for so long. And part of that is you have your period of being a young man, being a young woman of beauty or physical, you know, that's where you're at. But, you know, it's not a bad thing when you transition into that later in life when you're the one who's guiding people. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's honor in that, right? And that's something our society just doesn't do very well of. We don't really respect our elderly that much. We don't take care of our elderly that much. And we kind of toss them off and all this kind of, which is really stupid. There's so much to be gained from that. Just take a look at like multi-generational houses. How many things we got? What do we do? Hey, you're 18, you're an adult, get the hell out. Well, no, that's not really the best way to go about it. And we're like one of the few countries who do this stupid thing where we encourage go out and be your own thing. Look, there's multi-generational houses need to come back.
Well, here's the thing too is, you're not done teaching when they turn 18.
You're not.
Right? Your sons and daughters will always be your sons and daughters, right? They're always going to be in a position. It's like I told my sons, you can live at home as long as you're pursuing something, right? If you're just living at home because you're afraid to experience the world, then yeah, dude, don't. But if you're out there growing or trying to get a career or you're trying to do something with your life and you want to stay at home and now your role at home will change as you get older. contributing financially, contributing, you know, with labor and things like that. But I'm not looking to throw my kids out when they're 18. That doesn't make any sense. I still have, there's still a lot of learning to do, especially as men and the experiences that will happen in the world. You have, I mean, I honestly, man, I was really in my mid 20s before I ever thought about leaving. Right. You know, I did leave a couple of times and come back, but before I ever really seriously started like contemplating the fact that there needed to be this separate part of me that I had needed to start to build my life. It was quite a while before I got to that level of maturity. And what you do when you push them out at 18 is if you've got somebody who's not ready to face the world, you're pushing them to failure. Right. And that's on you. That's not on them. You need to know your kids well enough to know if they're ready, right? If they're mature and able.
Well, and I mean, sometimes your kids are not going to, I mean, they're going to balk at that and go, well, I'm an adult now. I'm going to do what I want. And that's, look, they're an adult now. So they're going to do what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you can do is just say, okay, buddy, but
be ready.
I'm, you know, just telling you,
you know,
you know,
but I also told my sons, I was like, even if you do leave, you know, money becomes a problem, come home. If you're heartbroken or you've experienced a loss of a relationship and you're having trouble recovering, come home. Mom and dad are always going to be here for you, right? It's always going to be, this is always going to be your home too. You, just because you don't live in it right now doesn't mean you can't come home to it. You know, we have these, and I will be completely honest. When I was a lot younger, I had that, when they're 18, they got to get out on their own. But the more I've grown myself, the more I've learned that that's just not always going
to
be true.
You need the guidance, man. I mean, it's just so helpful. Even when my dad was living with us for a while, I mean, I tried to talk to him as much as possible and have him help as much as he could or whatever. But you know, and it was hard. But you know, I loved it. You know,
we need wisdom.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll be 50 in 12 days, and I still need wisdom.
Yeah, we all do. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, but that's all I was going to, you know, the point here about the aging thing is like, you know, we have a culture that is trying to defy aging as much as possible. But a lot of that is vain, and a lot of it is hubris and just, you know, being a little, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
A lot of it is nonsense.
It is nonsense. And I mean,
it's ego.
It's what it is. There's honor in growing old. But you still, as you grow old, I mean, The only reason I'm out here doing stuff is not because I want to look any different.
Yeah.
Don't care about how I look anymore. Really. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I do obviously care about how I look. I don't want to be some damn blueberry walking around. Really.
Okay.
But the main thing is to stay healthy. Right. And so I'm not in my later years struggling as much as I would be if I didn't do anything.
Trying to recover from all the bad choices,
I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, because like if you don't take care of yourself, you're just built again, all these methods we're talking about of how it affects our aging and everything. Well, when you're like 75 years old and you know you're at that point and you're, you know, if you haven't been physically active throughout that whole time, man, your body's just going to be like, well, I don't know, can't do this, can't deal with that. You're whatever. That's, you don't want that. I want to still be able to function and do things when I get to be as long as I can.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, here's the thing. I was thinking about this the other day too, and I started to write down some notes and I got distracted by something, but I get the blue collar worker thing where you're really day in, day out
grinding.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be tough on you too.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, cause my whole family, the has been this way. My dad fully just beat himself to death working with his hands and body for decades, you know? And it broke him. Right. And then you get to the point where you're just broken, you know, and you can't really do a lot of stuff because, you know, you got busted discs in your back, you know, your shoulder rotators all jacked up. And I mean, you know, there is stuff like that. I'll say that you need to, I'm not saying don't do that. I actually cherish and wish I was doing a blue collar job anymore. I'd really enjoy the physical part of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know really what to tell you about that stuff, man, because it's the whole thing of that is you're just busting your butt.
Yeah. You're just killing yourself
day in, day out. Right.
I'm just going for it.
There's, and I mean, you know, you do the best you can, but I think the ways you can help yourself is to maybe do more, like think about your food you're eating a lot more. Yeah. If you, cause that'll help everything.
Diet is 90% of it.
Yeah. And recovery methods. Like if you get off work, you got to have something to do recovery wise, if you can, you know, but I get it, man. There's some dads out there, dude, that, you know, they have two, their wife works at night. They work during the day. They got to take, somebody's got to take care of the kids, this. You ain't got time for nothing. Nope. I mean, you just, but I'm, you know, that's,
I don't have time for nothing hardly right now. So
it's just one of those things, man. I mean, you got to just do the best you can with what you are, but you know, just keep in mind that your diet matters. Maybe do, you know, if you can do some stretches and stuff every once in a
absolutely.
While,
absolutely.
You know, if there's a way you can help your body, I don't know. That's tough. I just want to acknowledge that. Especially since I've lived with that scenario from my uncles and my dad and their and my grandpa and everybody. Yeah. They beat the living snot out of themselves.
Farmers, dude. Farmers. What a laborious, intense physical job that being a farmer is. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for those guys that are up at 4 a.m. They're milking the cows. They're plowing the fields. They're planting. They're growing. They're reaping the harvest. Like, that is a physical assault on the body. And those guys, there are guys out there that do it for 40, 50 years. Like, that's an intense thing to involve yourself in, yeah. Right?
I mean, like, my grandpa built his whole farm by himself.
Yeah.
With his wife.
Yeah.
They had cattle. They had some stuff like that. They had all kinds of stuff, man. Built it all himself. Built his own house. Then was doing laying brick and would come. He'd go work laying brick for somebody or stone or something and then come home, get on the bulldozer, do this or that or do whatever.
You know,
until he got up before it was sunrise and he went to bed after it was dark.
Yep.
And he was constantly doing stuff for just all his life until he just couldn't do it anymore.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. I'm just saying. Yeah,
it's impressive.
And fortunately, I don't have that, I don't have that kind of responsibility. I kind of sometimes wish I would. I think there's a lot to be said about how that is. And, you know, but I just wanted to throw that out there too.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who can physically just go until they can't go anymore. I'm that person where if I start a project, I'm in it till it's done. I don't care how much it takes out of me. I don't care what it does. Do I think I could survive being a farmer? I mean, if I had to, sure.
I'd want to give it a shot, to be fair.
You know, honestly, I mean, it's a very rewarding life. Right. I've never met a farmer that doesn't feel like he's doing something to keep people fed and to keep the wheels of everything turning. Like I love farmers, man. I love talking to them. I love they're a different breed of human being, man. Like a completely different breed of human being.
I know.
Like and I find that most farmers, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Like it's been generation after generation. So, but yeah, man. Aging sucks.
Aging
sucks.
Man. Aging, it, look, aging is to be revered. That's what I'll say. You got to look at the good and the bad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm much more educated, much more wise, much more spiritually mature, much more grounded in reality than I ever have been before.
For sure.
And that's that to me is the biggest thing I can say is the best thing. So one thing to wrap this, because I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I'm just going to say that I'm looking at the current political landscape, and it's looking like one of my doubts about things is pretty much spot on, which is it doesn't matter which party you have. It's going to do the same damn thing all the time. You don't have anything. You don't have any indictments coming in for anything that was fraudulent or corruption. You don't have, you have Doge doing all this stuff, but then Congress is rejecting the stuff. You have, you know, you have, you we really have a system where we can't even, the people that are running in the so-called conservative stuff are voting against the conservative stuff.
Yep.
I just look at it. It's just a shame.
I recently retired from Facebook. I've kind of stepped away from the political part of it because it's the same crap, different day, man. It's, you know, we say something to get elected. We do something different when we're in office. Again, I say this as I've said it before. I don't think there's any hope of fixing our current form of government. I think it's permanently broken. I think there's no recovering it. I think the only way that this will ever become a situation where anything positive will come out of it for the long term will be as if we were to just tear it down and start all over again. And even then, you're still dealing with people and corruption and greed. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is, right? I don't have an answer for people. The left is going to be the left. They're going to lie. They're going to distort facts. They're going to attack. The right is going to be the right. You know, we're going to say it's a good idea and then abandon it when there's any resistance. We're not going to have a spine. It's just the same thing over and over and over again. And I allowed myself to get excited when Trump got elected. I was like, well, maybe he really will. And I'm not saying he's not done anything, but well, I can certainly say that as much as has been done.
Well, it's half measures.
Yeah. It's all half measures. Yeah.
It's the thing. Like it goes, if instead of doing, cause he'll go on to do the tariff thing and then it's like, oh, we'll back this off. They do this tariff thing. Oh, we'll back this off. We'll put this in and we'll institute Doge and we'll do this. And we found all this. And then here's the budget and oh, all that's still back in there.
Yeah.
Like here's the thing. People need to wake up and just say, look, the ideology of the left is fundamentally stupid and should never be followed. The current elite left ideology, period. I don't care who you are. The left doesn't make any sense.
That's never made any sense.
No. Ideologically, the left is flawed, period. The right, though, will say all these things and then act like the left.
Yeah.
Now, I think Trump isn't so much influenced by as many external factors as like some of the congressional members and Senate leaders and stuff. But if Congress and Senate don't vote the way we, the people, have said demanded, we wanted to do, then you're going to get voted out.
Yeah.
And you know, if the whole party itself, the party leadership of the Republican Party, it absolutely needs to stop and put a stop to this.
Well, they need to stop acquiescing, right?
Yes.
You need to stop. If you're going to be a Republican, be a Republican, right? Don't be a.
You're getting bought.
Yeah,
this is what it is.
You're getting bought or bullied, one of the two.
Yeah,
right. And here's a great example of what you're saying. Let's take a look at the current Democratic Party. They are in fire sale mode. Like it is falling apart. They are now more disliked than any time in the history of the United States. They have learned nothing because they still continue to do the same stupid things. And the thing is everybody goes, well, the right got elected because they're the better party. No, the right got elected because they knew to be quiet for a little while and let the left self-destruct. That's the only reason they're in.
That's it.
And yes, do I believe that there will be a lot of losses of Democratic seats in the next midterm election? Yeah. But I don't honestly believe that having more Republicans than Democrats is going to change anything.
No.
I mean, all these people that were backing Trump, now that the heat's on, a lot of them are running for the hills. oh, well, I can't vote for that. Well, dude, you were cheering and applauding it a couple of months ago. What happened? Here's what happened. You're afraid you're going to lose your seat and that you're going to have your meal ticket anymore.
You can't. This is the thing. Until they get the media to the general public, I think has started to wake up to the fact that the media is biased. The mainstream media.
I think
dinosaur media.
I think
whatever you want to call it.
I think they've woke up to it. I think the Jen Psaki's new show lost 53% of its viewers after one episode. People saw what it was and were like, this is just more garbage, right? This is just more garbage.
I'm just saying, like, until the government, and I don't want to put any, no, freedom of speech, freedom of press, all this stuff. Yes, yes, yes. But until we have leadership actually say, from the Republican congressman and Senate, refuse to let CNN into something or whatever. I don't know. Invite more of the independent people and less of the mainstream people. I don't even know how you would do it, but people in general.
Well, Trump tried to do peers, it and the courts turned on him and said, well, you can't disallow people. Right.
And like, I don't disagree with that really. I'm not saying, cause I kind of don't know what to say.
I do. If you're purposely disseminating false information, I don't want you in there.
Yeah, the propagandist headlines and all that kind of stuff, yeah. The sensationalism of everything is stupid both ways. But all I'm saying is, like, the citizens, though, by now, with the amount of information you have available to you, you should have already come to this conclusion long ago that this is – everything's slanted. It's got propaganda all over it. But you still see, like, there's a couple of people that live around me that are still – they watch CNN. That's all they watch. And that's their opinion. Whatever CNN says, that's their opinion. And it's not cool. It's not even correct. Like, it's not factually anything, right?
It's the same with Fox News. I mean, I've watched Fox News. They're all opinion shows. This is my opinion of what I think. Yeah. I don't want your opinion. Just give me the news.
Anyway, I just thought,
But I will say this. You know, I heard this the other day, and I think this is the truest statement we can make. There's no real news outlets anymore.
No, it's just independent. Like, this is why I look at more independent sources than anything.
Yeah.
Is because I'm getting, somebody will show their actual conversation with somebody or whatever that was there. Or, I mean, this is why, the Joe Rogans, the Sean Ryans, one of the best things is Tucker Carlson, because he does all these interviews and it's like legit with these people who are in it. He doesn't steer away from the hard questions. You want to talk about professional journalism. I think he's got it.
Yeah.
So that stuff like that is where I go for what I'm talking about. But newspapers, no. Garbage.
Television, complete garbage. It's all garbage.
No. So anyway, I guess I'm just saying it's a shame. I think America's still great. Don't get me wrong. I think people still are trying to get here for a reason. I just think that it's time to wake up to the fact that our current congressional body and Senate body is just, it's too bought and paid for. We got to fix this.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just term limits either. I'm talking about a full reversal into that part-time government that we had when we signed the freaking Constitution.
Well, here's what I think, and I stand by the statement. You want to see real government happen? If you run for office, you are not allowed to make more money than the median average income of your state. So if your state's median average income is 55 grand a year, buddy, that's what you make as a senator or as a congressman. Because then you're really going to see people. Here's the biggest problem with our government. They don't live in the same world that the citizen lives in. They're uber well paid. They can take donations and call it campaign donations, and they become very wealthy while they're there. You know, they write books and do speaking appearances and get paid $300,000-$500,000 for showing up and giving a speech that essentially is meaningless. Government has become a business, a profitable business. That's the reason why you see people like AOC who, she's really far more worried about what she posts on Instagram than she is about her constituents.
Oh, I mean, by far.
Like, she could care less what happens to her district. No. I mean, we've all watched her district literally disintegrate into hell, and she's done nothing, like nothing. She's helped those people in no way.
The thing is, like, we voted in businessmen to govern our government.
Yeah.
Because we saw that the government way is not right.
We saw that the people currently in there couldn't do it.
No.
They're not capable.
And especially when you hear, like, Biden's interviews lately, it cracks me up, too. Like, you're still going to go focused and sharp. Anyway. So, look, I'm just making this again because I think we talk about politics a lot here in the show because it's just something that we feel like we need to be aware of more than anything. I don't feel like it's a way to solve problems anymore, but I still believe that, you know, Christ is king and all that stuff, and that's really the primary thing. But the truth is that, you know, until there's a reckoning between the people who don't vote the way that we've actually voted them in to do.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep happening.
But I think that's the problem with the Electoral College. Just because you're in there doesn't mean you're in there with my best interests. You can vote against what my wishes are, and I don't really have any power to do anything about it other than not vote for you the next time.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
So I think that's part of it, too, is I think that our republic is broken. I think we the system that worked for us for so long is shattered, and we now have this republic of it's power hungry republic. Now it's not a republic for the people.
In the Fed, for one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about really what we got here. Let's be real. The Fed controls pretty much freaking everything.
Yes, they do.
In the damn Fed, for one. That I can't express how far that goes in the Fed. Stop having them control our freaking money supply and manipulating it and everything else to suit
turn the feed off.
Turn that off. Get rid of it. Second thing is shut it down to where we have state government be for the state. Everything works from local government out to the county government, out to the freaking state government. And that becomes your primary governmental body.
Yeah.
The federal government is sitting there at a very small, very lean, it's not set up to do – that's where it should go back to. I don't care about all these departments and all this other nonsense. Get rid of it. I don't care. I do not care. And you're going to say, oh, these people – no. I don't care that the librarian of the Library of Congress got fired because she was a woke
– Nutbag.
Nutbag. No. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about DEI. I don't care. Get rid of all this stupid nonsense and just go back to being common sense.
Yeah.
But you won't do that because there's a lot of money in the government right now.
Well, here's the problem.
That's it.
Everything can't be true and everything can't be false.
At the same time.
No. It just isn't. I know we all want to live in a world where everybody's right and nobody's wrong. But unfortunately, that's not reality. That's that fantasy that we've built for ourselves.
Biggest example of how we are being just spoon-fed nonsense is those four women who supposedly went up in space.
Yeah.
When you can plainly see in the video, it's a dummy sitting in the freaking pod.
Yeah.
They showed you can go zoom right up to it. It's a freaking dummy sitting in the freaking pod. Wow. People. This is up to people. It's the people. People's, if you're really stupid if you're not looking at this stuff.
Yeah.
You're just freaking stupid.
Yeah.
But look, here's the thing. The woke death cult, that is the left, needs to just slowly die a painful death and go away. It's dumb. And all these people who support it, you're dumb too. Sorry. Not sorry. You're dumb. All these Republican mega, woo, Trump, you're dumb too. Because you're not even looking at what's going on.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe it's not Trump. He's trying. Maybe he's trying. Maybe he's not. But I'm certainly it ain't going. There's nothing happening.
We ain't winning. That's anyway. The best way to say it. We ain't winning.
That's all.
But anyway, well, I think that's all for today.
Smack it. We're good.
All right, guys,
gals.
This is R&B Talks. I'm Brian.
I am ready.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.